Usually changing a name on a piece of paper is it's just administrative trivia. You fill out a form, you pay a fee, and that's it. It's boring, but it's safe.
Exactly. It's just a clerical update. We expect it to be entirely harmless.
Right. But right now, in the Australian property market, updating that piece of paper has suddenly become financially hazardous.
Oh, absolutely.
And we've got a stack of sources today. Reports from the Broker Times, recent Australian parliamentary tax bills, and some pending draft legislation. And our mission for this deep dive is to figure out how recent tax reforms have turned routine property title transfers into a massive compliance risk. Okay, let's unpack this. What exactly happened on May 12, 2026?
Well, that was the federal budget night, and it set a hard line in the sand. So the core rule is that from July 1st, 2027, negative gearing for residential property investments is restricted to new builds only. And just as a quick refresher, negative gearing is essentially the ability to deduct your property investment losses against your personal income tax.
It's a massive financial shield for investors.
It is. Now, properties held before that 743 p.m. announcement on May 12th, they are grandfathered in. They get to keep those vital tax perks.
Which sounds great for existing owners. But here is the trap. The way this legislation is written, if you change a name on the title, it's not just a clerical update. It's like having a locked-in, ultra-low, fixed mortgage rate. And the second you touch the paperwork, the bank forces you onto today's punishing variable rate.
Oh, wow, that's a really good way to put it.
Because the title changed hands, the property is technically acquired again under the new rules. You instantly lose that grandfather tax deduction, which it can turn a manageable investment into a heavy cash flow burden overnight.
Spot on. And that strict technical definition of acquired accidentally created something devastating right out of the gate. It created the widow tax,
Oh, man.
right? So if a couple owned a negatively geared property together and one partner passed away, the surviving spouse taking over that other half was suddenly treated as acquiring a new interest after budget night. They would lose the tax concession they already relied on as a couple simply because their partner died. But what's fascinating here is how quickly Parliament realized the error and moved to patch it. On August 19th, they passed a bill specifically to protect these transfers. So interests acquired through spousal inheritance or a formal relationship breakdown get to keep that grandfathered status.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting. They fixed the unavoidable tragedies. Death and divorce are explicitly covered. But wait, so if I just want to add my new wife to the deed of a house I bought 10 years ago, or I want to buy out my sister's half of a property we co-inherited, am I accidentally destroying my tax status?
You are.
Wow.
That is exactly where the trap springs. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the government fixed the life events you absolutely cannot control, but they left proactive, voluntary choices completely exposed to massive tax consequences.
I mean.
Moving a property into a family trust for asset protection, adding a spouse, sibling buyouts, none of those are protected by the August 19 fix.
Hold on, I have to push back here on the logistics of this. The people processing these transfers, day in and day out, are mortgage brokers. A client comes in wanting to refinance to buy out their sister, and the broker says, "Sure, we can finance that." But brokers aren't tax accountants.
No, they aren't.
How do they survive this compliance nightmare without illegally giving tax advice or violating their best interests, their legal obligation to not financially ruin their client?
It is an incredibly stressful high wire act for them right now. A broker legally cannot give tax advice. The industry defense mechanism is what they're calling a 90-second triage. The broker has to spot the trigger. Is a name coming off or going on to a title? If yes, they ask two strict questions. Is the property negatively geared and was it acquired before May 12, 2026? If the answer is yes, the broker must mandate an account referral before lodging the finance application. And here is their ultimate shield. A single dated file note proving they told the client to see an accountant. That one line transfers the liability back to the tax professional where it belongs.
Man. So what does this all mean for the wider business landscape? Because this single piece of legislation is a double-edged sword,
Oh,
right?
definitely.
It creates this bureaucratic nightmare for property investors. But the other half of this exact same bill was actually designed to eliminate red tape for small business owners.
Yes, The very same bill permanently locked in the $20,000 instant asset write-off for businesses with under $10 million in turnover.
Which is huge, because it finally ends that frantic June scramble.
Oh, yeah.
Small businesses used to rush to buy equipment right before the financial year ended, just guessing and hoping the write-off program would be extended for another 12 months.
Exactly. It allows up to 4.1 million small businesses to confidently plan their asset finance and equipment upgrades across the entire calendar year.
Right.
It's far healthier for their cash flow because it removes the legislative guesswork.
So we have this massive permanent relief for small businesses and a patch for the widow tax, but a glaring expensive loophole for anyone just trying to proactively update their estate planning.
And this raises an important question, because the rules are still shifting under our feet. We've been talking about the bill that actually passed, but there is a parallel draft proposal out there where consultation just closed on August 21st.
Okay.
It's floating the idea of exempting capital gains through testamentary and special disability trusts.
So the landscape of what is and isn't taxed during a transfer is actively moving. Meaning, if you're trying to be responsible and you update your will or restructure your assets today to protect your family, you might inadvertently step right onto that financial landmine we talked about at the start.
Yeah, exactly.
It really makes you wonder, with the rules still half written, is the most dangerous thing you could do right now just trying to be prepared?